Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is whole business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? In the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
The blood today.
His blood still works. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood on tonight. Praise the Lord, saints of God. Hallelujah. His blood still works. It cleanses, it heals, it delivers. His blood still works. Good evening, my brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Life of Portland. I am your host tonight, Pastor Kimberly Black. Bring you greetings from Portland, Oregon, the city of roses, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Amen. And we are just truly honored to be able to be in the midst of God's people, praising him and worshiping him and lifting him up, because we are firm believers of his word, because his word says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It is an honor, a privilege, and my pleasure to be able to worship with you. Thank you for inviting me into your homes tonight. I hope and pray that you be blessed by our time of worship together, by our time of prayer, our time of praise, and our time of preaching of the word. Yes, the Lord has a word in store for us, and we are excited about what's going to happen on tonight. I guess you say, Pastor Black, you excited every Sunday night. Yes, 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 I am, because I love the word of the Lord. I love the people of the Lord. And I love it when we can come together. And you know what? It doesn't matter to me that we are not face to face. We are still together. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I will be in the midst. And I feel his presence moving and shifting the atmosphere. I hope you feel him wherever you are tonight. I hope you feel him. We give honor to God tonight, and we thank God for the Butterfields that make this platform possible. We thank God for those that labor right here with us, Elder Dante Farmer, Elder Kathy Miniweather, and my sister, our friend, Pastor Sherelle Pennington. Yes, yes, yes. We thank God for the men and women that co-labor with us to advance the kingdom of God, to equip the saints, and to tear down Satan's kingdom. Amen. We thank God for our brother and our sisters, and we honor each of you. We thank God for Archbishop Ruth Smith, amen, pastor of Light of the World, amen, and we just thank God for Archbishop, and we thank God for the covering that she provides for us at the Blog Talk, amen, family. Not just the Light of Portland, but all of those that are connected to this line. Every week, you could go in to this line and hear different people, Butterfields, preaching and teaching the word of God. And so we want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that this is not the only time you can tap into Blog Talk. Amen. You can definitely come and be with us. Amen. No, I'm not dancing. I'll be dancing. All right, I'm sorry. I got it, Pastor. Thank you. We want to
make some announcements on tonight, and then we want to go to God in prayer, and then we will be ready to receive a word from the Lord. So I'd like to invite you to the Soul Therapy Project. The Abundant Company presents the Soul Therapy Project. This project is produced by Artistic Director Danielle Gibbons. Amen. This will take place on May 23rd at 3:30 p.m. at the Windmill Arts Center in East Point, Georgia. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door the day of the event. This will be a face-to-face event or a virtual event. So you can, if you're far away, you can purchase a ticket to watch it on your own device in the privacy of your own home. And if you are there in Georgia, you can go to the Windmill Arts Center in Eastport, Georgia. If you're interested in purchasing a ticket, you would go to the Soul Therapy Project eventbrite.com and purchase your ticket. Our own Pastor Sherelle Pennington will be ministering. If you've ever seen Pastor Sherelle dance before the Lord, you know that it is an amazing spirit-filled time of worship. And that's when I first fell in love with her, is when I saw her dance before the Lord at an event, and we connected ever since. And I just think it's amazing that people can share their gifts. The Bible says your gifts and your talents will make room for you. Now, I don't want you to think that you can't preach, you don't have a gift or a talent. You can't sing, you don't have a gift or a talent. Baby, let me tell you, whatever it is you can do, you need to do it as unto the Lord. And God gives us gifts and talents. You might not realize that what you do on your job is a gift or a talent, but it can be used to advance the kingdom of God. Maybe you are the best administrative assistant on your job. Your boss just loves you. You ought to be working for the church, somebody. Come on, somebody. Maybe you are the best accountant. Maybe you are the best contract. You can look at contracts and blueprints, and you can see this stuff in your sleep. You ought to be doing this for the kingdom of God. You ought to be working. Okay, it's not time to preach, but I just felt that in my spirit. And so if you are the dancer in the world, you are able to dance for the Lord. Uh-huh. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him praise. So thank you for sharing that announcement with us, Pastor Sherelle. Thank you. So let's govern ourselves accordingly. Amen. I thought she asked me, was I dancing around, because I sounded winded. I was directing the choir earlier with Never His Blood Still Works, so I was just a little winded. Amen. But truly, truly, we thank God. This Thursday, May the 6th, is National Day of Prayer. And I want to invite you to spend some time in prayer with God. If you don't go to an event, if you don't sponsor an event, you ought to do like Daniel and set aside some time that's designated for prayer. You know, the Bible, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And so you need to set aside some time. If your church is not sponsoring an event, or you don't know about an event that's happening on Thursday, you ought to have your own event of prayer. And you say, well, Pastor, who do I pray for? Well, you're going to pray for the government. You're going to pray for the policemen. You're going to pray for the newscasters. You're going to pray for these people that are the owners and the makers of Facebook and Instagram and all of these media networks that we use. You're also going to pray for the judges and the lawyers. You're going to pray for the school teachers. You're going to pray for the pastors. You're going to pray for the churches, for the members. And you're going to pray for those that are incarcerated. You just want to go before the Lord. And let's do it 3 times a day. If you're not going anywhere, let's do it. Let's do it. I remember when I was seeking God for a job and I was fasting and praying, I set out to pray at 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 p.m. and then 9 p.m. again, and then I woke up at midnight. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because I really wanted this job, and I really wanted to go before the Lord. If you don't have nothing to pray about, pray that this virus is eradicated, that it is gone away. I don't know about your city that you live in. I don't know if the violence has intensified where you live, but I know here in Portland, Oregon, there's a shooting every day. Pray that the violence is eradicated. Pray that our government officials and our communities can come together to do an end with this violence and this gun violence, especially. Amen. And so that's Thursday, May the 6th. That's National Day of Prayer. We're going to make ready now to go before the Lord in prayer. We're going to invite Mother Nancy Kimmons to join us, and she's going to lead us to the throne of grace. We're going to hear a song, and then we're going to be ready to receive the Lord, the word of the Lord on tonight. Amen. Mother Kimmons.
Amen. Praise God. God, we thank you this evening. We bless your holy name, oh God. God, we lift you up, oh God, for you are high and mighty, and you sit high and you look low. God, we love you this evening. Father God, we just want to thank you for Archbishop Bruce Smith, for the Butterfields, and Pastor Sherelle, for allowing us to worship on Block Talk Radio. Father God, we bless Pastor Black, Elder Farmer, Elder Kathy, all those who work so hard and diligently to bring us a good word. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this first Sunday in May. We pray that your word will go forth and touch our minds and our brains and our hearts. Father God, we pray that this word will penetrate us and restore us, rejuvenate us, refresh us, oh God, that your word will do what it is supposed to do, that it will cut going in and cut coming out. And then, God, Pastor Black, as she ministers to us, oh God, with your word, she will heal, she'll put that healing salve on that word where she cuts you. And God, we can be made whole. We can be made whole through the word, oh God. The word is what keeps us. Your word sustains us, oh God. So, Father God, we thank you this evening for all those that are on this line. We thank you, oh God, for such a beautiful day, God. You woke us up this morning, and you started us on our way, God. And without you, God, we would not be anywhere. We would not be able to do anything, oh God. So, God, we just praise your holy name. We lift you up, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. God, we pray for everybody on this line tonight. We pray, oh God, that your word, God, will penetrate our hearts, oh God, and change us, oh God, that we'll make a change to you, oh God. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins, of all of our trespasses, God. Father, wash us with that blood, God, that still works. Clean us up, oh God. Help us, oh God, to be more like you. Help us to love like you. Help us to love our fellow man. That's what your word says, God, that we have to love everybody, oh God, that we have to love you, oh God, with an everlasting heart, with a pure heart. God, we thank you this evening for your love that has brought us this far into this year, oh God. God, we know that the pandemic is rising and raising and going ahead strong, oh God. But we know, God, that you control everything and yes, all power in your hands. You will bring this to a halt when you so desire. And so, God, until then, just let us be wait patiently for you. Yes. That's what yes, the word says. Just wait on the Lord, and he will do what it is he has to do. We will lift our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. Because all our help comes from God. God, bring forth that word right now, that mighty word, oh God. Let Pastor Black preach the word, God. Let her preach an uncompromising gospel. Oh God, we thank you right now, God. We thank you for what our ears will hear, oh God, and what our heart will receive. And Father God, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen.
Hope of life's been with you. and you are worthy.
Gracious Father, we humbly come before your presence this evening, O God, thanking you, Father, for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, God, that's in this place right now. Father, we feel your spirit, God, and we present ourselves as living sacrifices, God. We present ourselves here to worship you, O God. As a song says, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. And Father God, as we come to worship you tonight, Lord God, we thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for being in our presence. Now, God, I pray, Father, that your word will come forth and penetrate, as Mother said, our hearts and our minds. Father, not that we would just be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. God, be magnified in our life. That what we hear today, we can see ourselves doing it to give you glory and honor. Be pleased, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross. Cover me now in your blood, Father. Less of me and more of thee. Lord God, please, Lord God, give hearing to the hearer and give a doing spirit to the doer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just for a few moments, I want to call your attention to a very familiar passage of scripture. John, the book of the gospel of recorded by St. John, in the book of John, chapter 4, there's two verses that I want to read there for us. And I want to start at verse 21. I might as well start there. 21, let me start there reading tonight. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24, in our conclusion of reading the scripture tonight, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the word of the Lord is blessed for the people of the Lord, and may we become doers and not hearers of his holy word. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, the purpose of this message it's more than to inspire. It's more than to challenge. The purpose of this message is to be life changing, to give life new meaning, life changing message. That's what this is tonight. It is to cause a ravishing hunger in our lives for the present God. I don't know about you, but since the 12th of April 2021, but since March 2020, I have been running after God harder than I have in all of my 50-something years. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you. My life took a shift when we went into a pandemic, my time of worship, my time of prayer, my time of study, it went into a shift when we went into a pandemic. And so tonight, this message, it is to shift us. Amen. If we hadn't been shifted, somebody lift your hands up and say, Lord, shift me tonight. Yeah, if you haven't been shifted or you need another shifting, lift your hands up and say, Lord, shift me tonight. Yeah. That's what this word is going to do tonight. We read John 4:21-24, but to get a deeper understanding of my message on tonight, you need to look at Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. And just for a few moments, I want to talk to you about the price of wholehearted worship, you will find in Luke 7, we learn that true worship is not determined by place or posture, but by the attitude of our heart and the longing of our spirit after the heart of God. Yes, the essence of wholehearted worship is this, my brothers and sisters. True worship flows out of a deep hungering and thirsting, desiring to know God, and not only to know him, but to dwell in his presence. Somebody say, I just want to dwell in his presence. Uh-huh. For your glory, Lord. Yeah, I will do anything. I will say anything. I will go anywhere for your glory, Lord. It's going beyond the ritual or traditional worship. Yeah. Yes. So true worshipers don't need the praise team to usher them into the presence of the Lord. True worshipers don't need the pastor to say, lift up your hands. We don't need nobody to provoke us. We don't need nobody to pump and prime us. We can worship all by ourselves. True worshipers don't need to be in a crowd of people to worship the Lord. Yes. You read Luke. You'll see. That woman was in a crowd of people, and they didn't want her there, but they did not stop her praise and her worship to her God. Yes, I for those of us that just need a reason to read it, let me throw that in there. Let me put that in there. But true worship, it goes beyond the ritual or the traditional worship. True worship is inspired by the Holy Spirit. You can exhibit the form or display the acts of worship of the lifting of the hands or the crying because the music moves you. But have you ever been in a place that you began to worship the Lord and there was no music present? Well, Pastor Black, no, because I've always got to have music. Well, let me help you out. If you get somewhere and it's quiet and you lift up your hands and you close your eyes and you begin to say, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, and you say it long enough, the presence of the Lord is going to come in. And when the presence of the Lord comes in, you're going to feel some type of way. And then you begin to humble yourself before him and those tears are going to begin to flow and your hands are going to get lifted up and your hallelujah, Jesus, is going to get a little louder. That's just how true worshipers get their praise on. They don't need no help. They don't need nobody to help them praise the Lord. So you can exhibit the form or display the act of worship, but it is not wholehearted worship unless it is done in spirit and in truth. That's what John told us. The presence of wholehearted worship is found among worshipers who worship Christ in spirit and in truth, not necessarily people who worship. Okay. I know that. You'll catch that one when I get off the air. But as we're going to discover tonight, there is a real difference between worship, wholehearted worship. Wholehearted worship is much, much different from the worship that some people profess for God. wholehearted worship flows out of a heart that has reverence for who God is. You have reverence for who God is. I don't know who he is to you. Amen. I hear somebody on this line say, he's my healer. I hear somebody on this line say, he's my mind regulator. I hear somebody on this line say, he's my joy. He's my peace. He's my comforter. He's my way out of nowhere. I hear somebody say, he's my provider. I hear somebody say, he's my hope. He's my joy. He's my company keeper. I hear somebody say, he is my peace. Yeah, I just discovered a scripture that says, he's my song. Hallelujah. Tonight, who is he to you tonight? Who is he to you tonight? True, wholehearted worship flows out of a heart that has reverence. You respect him for who he is. That is a heart, a heart that respects who God is a heart that is humble and that is repentant. Uh-huh. You don't mind repenting. You don't mind humbling yourself. It's this type of heart that penetrates the love of God. Uh-huh. The Bible says that he has nothing to do with a proud and haughty spirit. He can't deal with that. Y'all know that you don't want nobody that's always full of themselves around you. It's all about them and nobody else. God, what moves the heart of God is a heart that is humble and a heart that repents. What did David do? Lord, have mercy. According to your loving kindness, your tender mercy. He said, I have sinned and I have done wrong against you, O Lord. Saints of God, we got to learn to repent. Repent of those sins of omission and commission. True worship also flows out of a heart that seeks the giver, not the gift. Oh, come on, somebody. We always go to God and give me. Lord, do this. Lord, go here. Lord, go there. Lord, go. You know what? Every now and then, I know people be saying, that ain't praying. Every now and then, I get on prayer lines, and I just start thanking him for who he is. Thanking him for who he is, for what he's already done. Sometimes I don't even ask him to go do nothing else. I don't send him nowhere. I don't tell him about nobody. I just tell him about how good he is. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with telling God how good he is. I want my family to tell me, you're a good daughter. You're a good mother. You're a good preacher. You're a good helpmate. You're a good wife. You're a good husband. You're a good daughter. You're a good son. Every now and then you want to hear that. You're a good co-worker. You're a good patient. Every now and then you want to hear how people appreciate who you are. Well, hey, if you like that, what makes you think the one who created you ain't like that? Yeah. Every now and then we ought to seek the giver, not the gift. Yes. Allow me just for a few moments to take you on a spiritual jog to the first conception of wholehearted worship. In Exodus chapter 19, around about verse 6, the Bible lets us know that it was God's intention that Israel be a kingdom of priests. It was God's desire from the moment he led them out of Egypt that Israel, as his chosen nation, would become a kingdom of priests. I believe that the event that transpired at Mount Sinai was the first monumental turning point in the history of Israel. Here, that the first critical decision was made among the people of Israel. I believe that it was God's intention that his band of wanderers would be made into a kingdom of priests at that mountain. It was Israel's responsibility it was Israel's response that led to the priesthood. When the people of Israel saw God's power displayed, the Bible says that they trembled with fear and withdrew from the mountain
and stood at a distance. They said to Moses, hey, dude, listen here. Moses. You know, and you speak, and we will listen. You go. We don't want to get any closer to God. We will hear his voice through you. We know that if we get too close, we gonna die. You know, because remember when Moses got up on the mountain, Moses, the Spirit of the Lord caused the bush to catch on fire. Come on, it burned, but it didn't get consumed. Yeah, when he began to speak, the earth began to tremble. They got afraid. Y'all know we are afraid of earthquakes. That's what happened when he began to speak. And they was like, no. You go and talk to God. You go and see God. And then you come back and tell us. Amen? But they were afraid of his presence. They were afraid of his presence. They honored him because they knew that he was mighty. This was significant. It was significant. You see, at Mount Sinai, they saw God's power pass off to the priesthood. But they looked forward to the promised land. At the River Jordan, they forgot God's power. They ignored the priesthood, and they passed off the promised land. As I said earlier, there's a difference between worship and wholehearted worship. At Mount Sinai, the Israelites were satisfied to worship God at a distance, but were afraid to enter into true worship up close. It's funny, but the Israelites recognized at Mount Sinai that there was a price to true worship that they weren't prepared to pay. The price that the Israelites weren't willing to pay to enter into wholehearted worship and experience the intimate presence of God was death. They were afraid of dying. I told you that there was a difference between worship and wholehearted worship. You know, it's interesting in the light of this passage in Exodus that Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12:1. What does he say? He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So you say, Pastor Black, what is the price of wholehearted worship? I'm glad you asked. The price of wholehearted worship is yourself. That's what God wants. Just like Uncle Sam in that picture. He said, Uncle Sam, want you? Okay. Jesus, God is saying, I want you. I want you. Wholehearted worship. Wholehearted worship leads us to some uncomfortable places. Places of repentance. When you are in the presence of God, you become aware of your sinfulness and are brought to your knees in repentance. Yeah, Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah cried, woe to me. I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. There are many people who stand off in their worship because they are afraid of what may happen because they, if they enter into the presence of God. Think about the Israelites. They had just heard the Ten Commandments spoken by God himself. Can you imagine the frightening scene as God listed off the Ten Commandments one by one? While they're there and they were listening, I told you, lightning was happening. Thunder was echoing. Smoke was coming up out of the mountain, up out of the bush. I'm sure back in the back of their minds, the Israelites was going, I think I may have broken that commandment. I don't feel very comfortable right now. I don't think it will be safe
to stay here much longer. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, too many people in the church are worshiping God in spirit and in truth because they get into the place and they feel uncomfortable. And they start thinking, this isn't a very good place for me to be riding in right now. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Time is not as long as it has been. It's not as short as it's going to get. Now is the time to repent. If there's breath in your body, activities in your limb, and you are close in your right eye, we need to repent. I know it's uncomfortable. I know we don't want to give it up. But let me tell you, give it up. Give it up. Turn. Repentance means I turn from that sin. I don't go back to it. I've turned my back on lying, gossiping, whoremongers, backbiting, smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, drinking alcohol. You said, Pastor Blake, that ain't no sin because I'm in my own house. And don't nobody know that I'm smoking weed and I'm smoking crack and I'm drinking a little gin and juice. I'm in my own house. I'm not sinning. I'm not going out. Well, baby, you have put something into your body that's going to defile your temple. Our temple is, our bodies are the temple of the living God. And he lives there. He dwells in there. And he didn't say, put no gin and juice in your body. He said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, you ought to produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, patience, long-suffering. Okay, y'all, that wasn't in my message. That was free right there. But we know that it is important that we get rid of sin. The only way we can get rid of sin is to confess. 1 John 1:9 says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Wholehearted worship takes you through the place of repentance and into the place, just like Paul wrote, offer your body as a living sacrifice. What does this mean? A sacrifice is something that is of great value to you, and you give it up freely without the thought of gain for yourself. Mm-hmm. Janet Jackson say, what have you done for me lately? I hear the Lord saying, what have you given up for me lately that I may get the glory out of your life? What have you given up? What are you holding on to tonight, church? God wants the glory out of your life tonight, and we're holding on to this thing, and we won't let it go because we think it's going to help us be all this and that in a bag of chips. But let me tell you, baby, that thing is going to keep us outside of the presence of the Lord, because you get there, but as soon as church over, you know, the woman who came to Jesus and Bethany and anointed his head. I'm back in Luke. I just want to whet your appetite so you'll go back and read it. She was in Bethany and she anointed his head. Understand the concept of sacrifice. If she understood it, it is written in the scripture that the perfume she poured on his head and his feet was worth a year's wages. And yet she willingly emptied the jar. Wholehearted worship brings us into a place where we are willing to sacrifice anything to get closer to God and to honor him. I believe Paul was a wholehearted worshiper. He was prepared to die for Christ. That's Acts 21:13. Wholehearted worship will not be entered into by curious people, but by thirsty people. Any thirsty folk on the line tonight? There are many curious seekers in the kingdom of God. People who are content to stay in the distance and watch what God is doing. They get the warm, fuzzy feeling all over their body. They know how to lift their hand and the song get good. They know how to nod their head and say amen when everybody else is nodding their head and saying amen. And then when they go home, they don't carry that same feeling with them. That's a curious seeker. Curious seekers can't enter into true worship because they don't want to give up anything. Yet they will sing the song just as loud as you. They will run around the church just as hard as you. They will say amen just as loud as you, but they will not give up nothing for God to get the glory. Saints of God, tonight, prime time, right time to say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And I live for you alone. Tonight, it's the prime time. Wholehearted worship is entered into by people who are thirsty for God. Any thirsty folk on the line tonight? That is, lets us know that thirsty people are prepared to sacrifice anything that will bring them closer to God. In our country and in our society, most of us don't really know what it means to go thirsty or go hungry for nothing. When people are thirsty for God, they are prepared to sacrifice their pride. They don't worry about what other people think. They only worry about what is God thinking. Thirsty people, they say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. That's their daily prayer. That's their daily prayer. Thirsty people take them, they say, Lord, take my heart and mold it. Thirsty people say, Lord, take my mind, transform it. They say, Lord, take my will, conform it. Thirsty people say, to your will, to your way, to your mind. Wholehearted worshipers are able to take God's way and conform them to their own ways. Wholehearted worshipers are prepared to give up everything they have to God. And I mean everything. Wholehearted worshipers, they're ready. They're ready to sacrifice their bodies. Take my life and let it be a living sacrifice. Wholehearted worship is a lifestyle. It's not something we do. Wholehearted worship is a life. You can say you worship the Lord, and you can show me you worship the Lord, but you ain't trying to impress me, because I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. The church, the congregation don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. We can't heal you. We can't save you. We cannot meet your needs if we don't have the riches and glory. We can't make you be the head. We can't make you be the lender. We can't deliver you. We can't rescue you. We can't transform you. We can't do nothing for you but be here and encourage you and help you along the way. But it's up to the individual to be willing to be a sacrifice for God. Remember, wholehearted worship is what God is calling for in these last and evil days. If we don't never get back to our buildings, you should be able to worship the Lord in your home, in your car. I can remember when I was driving to work, and one morning I was on the freeway and a song came on. And I was like, I got to hurry up and get off this freeway, because I just felt the Spirit of the Lord and the tears was flowing, and I wanted to lift my hands, but I had to keep my hands on the wheel. But I still had, I had a worship in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. Where do true worshipers at tonight? Are you worshiping him with your whole heart? Are you worshiping him with your whole heart? I want you to know that there's going to come some things that's going to happen in your life. In order for you to get there, you're going to have to experience some brokenness. Just getting you ready. But don't be scared, because he's in the midst of you. He's with you. He's right there, because it's his desire that we live a life that pleases him. So he said, I know the thoughts and plans I have towards you, thoughts to not harm you, but bring you to an expected end. And if your heart's desire is to be a wholehearted worshiper, baby, don't you know, he's going to help you get there. And I love it. Tasha Cobb sings this song, Gracefully Broken. Let him do it tonight. Let him do it tonight. Let him gracefully break you, that you may become a wholehearted worshiper. A wholehearted worshiper. That's what he wants tonight. I hope and pray, my brothers and sisters, that you have been blessed by the word on tonight. I hope something has been said to encourage you and to strengthen you and to cause your love relationship with the Lord to be intensified, and your worship to be like none other. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters. Be blessed in the Lord. Spend time in worship with him, because he deserves the glory.
You deserve my worship. You deserve my praise. Thank you, Jesus. Adoration and glory, it belongs to you always. Oh, you deserve my worship. Yes, you do, Lord. You deserve my praise. Adoration and glory belongs to you always. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I just want to thank him for saving me. Oh,
you deserve my worship.
Yes, you do, Lord.
You deserve my worship.